to the near post. Messi to the net. Mamma mia! Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Elber Elis. La Pantanita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for keeping soccer on the radio. The Daspit Law Firm, by the way, is our presenting sponsor. We have a back-to-back night of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And I'll tell you, we got a loaded lineup, not only tonight, but tomorrow. I'm going to get you into some of the guests, but man, I am so excited for this show here tonight. We've got a lot of live in-studio guests. And as always, we're fresh on the heels of that monster tandem of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman and the Blitz. All right, so I'm hoping to measure up here tonight. What the heck do you want to talk about? Oh, this little thing called Christian Pulisic. $73 million transfer. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in throughout the show. We are streaming at ESPN975.com. The podcast, as always, can be found on podcastarena.com and also over on iTunes. So all kinds of topics tonight. So call in. Platform is yours. Christian Pulisic to Chelsea for $73 million. Albert Elise. This is really hot. If you go over to Facebook Soccer Matters, tons of talk about Albert. There's no doubt throughout the last season he's been dropping that he wants to move to Europe. He's 22 years of age. Fenerbahce seems to be the team of choice right now. I've talked to some people in Turkey, know people over there. The Turkish papers are reporting the Dynamo want $8.5 million for him. The question is, if you lose a man that's so fundamental to the way you play, how do things get adjusted? Because it's going to be very difficult to get a like-for-like replacement for him, I would think, in the near term, unless the Dynamo knows something. Matt Jordan and company, obviously, may have something up their sleeve there. I don't know. But Albert Elise is fundamental to the way the Dynamo plays. So we can discuss that tonight. And how would the Dynamo absorb Elise if, in fact, he leaves? But look, he's not gone. He's under contract to the Houston Dynamo right now. Do you want Elise to stay or go? 713-780-3776. What do you think is in the best interest of the Houston Dynamo right now? Because when Dynamo GM Matt Jordan talks about the three buckets, one of the buckets is young South American and young foreign players. If you are signing young foreign players, rest assured they are coming here as a stepping stone. That's just the way it is. These players have ambitions to get to Europe. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually something that many of the Dutch teams have embraced, and it's led to them being remarkable over there, producing players, moving players on, and also producing very, very good teams. Dynamo schedules out. What about it? Chile to take on the U.S. at BBVA Compass Stadium, and the Argentine invasion in Major League Soccer continuing, including a Dynamo signing in Matias Vera. MLS Super Draft is dying. Real Madrid is floundering. By the way, where are you, Real Madrid supporters groups in Houston? And you know who I'm talking to right now. You guys are always there in the good times. Now call in and tell us a little bit about what you think the future is. And is your loyalty and your hardcore support still there? Because apparently they normally draw 81,000 fans, and it's gone down to 55, I think. 55. That's nice crowd, but when you're used to 81 all the time. So there's even a little bit of apathy at Real Madrid. And Cristiano Ronaldo moves on to Juventus. He's going to continue to take them to glory. He's scoring goals for them. And it is very interesting that nobody has stepped up what I think is a real opportunity when to be the star of that team. I never thought it would be Gareth Bale, too injury prone, ultra talented. But that's an interesting dynamic there. Super Draft is on Friday. There's talk of eliminating ultimately the you know, the bringing in of all these college players to play in front of the coaches. I mean, if you don't know these guys by then, I don't know what you're really, it seems like an exercise in PR to a degree. There will be college players that make it in Major League Soccer. I think that's dwindling now with homegrown players and academies and targeted allocation money and general allocation money. So that's one to keep an eye on. Again, we stream at ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776. Victor, what's our question of the day? Do you know?
What makes your club, what do you want to see your club get better at?
Okay, so how do you define success for the club you support? It could be the Dynamo, it could be Real Madrid, it could be Barcelona. And I would specifically want to hear what Dynamo fans say this year. What is your standard this year? What do you want to see out of your club this year? What do you define success as? Could be winning the Open Cup. It could be winning MLS Cup. It could be just making the playoffs. It depends on what you think. 713-780-3776. I remember before last season, Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, was asked that question. We know what his response was. Beat the Golden State Warriors, which they almost did, because he felt that you had to go through the Golden State Warriors in order to win an NBA title. What a series that was last year. All right, Glenn Davis Sock on Twitter. You can hit me up there. Facebook Soccer Matters. I mean, the opinion coming in over there, the engagement, outstanding. So keep that going. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. So here's our menu for tonight, and he's already in studio here. So excited to have Paul Holliker in. He is the head of the Dynamo Academy. He's a former pro, had a seven-year career as a professional soccer player, already doing great things here in Houston with the Dynamo Academy. And we're going to have Paul on tonight to talk all things player development. We'll go into some other areas as well. So excited to have him on the program. Second hour, we got a roundtable. So we got Super Eagle Sam Mbonu of Afro Vibes coming in. We'll talk with him. We've got DJ Sun, Andre Simpson, good friend of mine. Who he's an expert on the Dutch League. We'll talk a little Frank de Boer now, being the coach at Atlanta United and some of the young talent there. But we'll banter around a number of topics. And how about this? Former Houston Dynamo, Andrew Driver, is living back in Houston. He'll be in studio as well. So we got a great lineup tonight. Tomorrow night, the fun continues. We've got Reggie Cannon in with the U.S. national team right now, the young FC Dallas right back, very talented young man. Great interview with him. Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets, talking soccer, talking consequence in the NBA, talking James Harden, talking the role of a general manager. Really interesting interview. And we also dip into music a little bit. We also dip into theater, which he's a big theater fan. So that's a neat kind of crossover interview. And I appreciate Daryl doing that. We've also, tomorrow night, got Dave Major, St. John's. Longtime coach at St. John's University, Queens, New York. Not the easiest place to put together a college program. Dave has been a tremendous servant to the game, won a national championship there. He also doubles doing a color commentary on the radio for New York City FC. So Dave Major, a lot of thoughts on the college game, where it fits into the landscape. So between Paul Holliker and Dave Major, we're touching a lot of the different levels of the game in the country. So I hope you appreciate that these guys are coming on the program. Kiki Struna. Now, I did the interview with him today. He's a new Dynamo defender from Palermo in the Serie A. What we're going to do is we're going to hold that interview till tomorrow night. It's an exceptional interview. You're going to love the attitude you get from him out of this interview. But he talks everything growing up, Slovenia, debuting for the Slovenian national team. We even talk about all the artwork that he has on his body. He has a lot of ink on the body. So, but excellent interview. We're going to hold that. We're going to do that tomorrow night. I know we said we were going to run it tonight, but with Paul Holliker in here, I want to do more than one segment with him. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, Brian Schroeder of Soccer Now, got a great pulse on all the young talent. We're going to talk to him tomorrow night as well around everything that's going on with players like Timothy Weah going to Celtic, some of the top under 17, under 19, and under 20 talent that's all assembled down in Florida right now in the United States. So we'll talk with him as well. Arthur Blank in Atlanta, Christian Pulisic, national team Chile, Dynamo, Albert Elise. These are all topics that are on the table tonight. Tata Martino has been officially announced as the coach of Mexico. Still pretty stunned that he was never interviewed by the United States. I just, that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think to not interview him is just strange to me. On the other hand, they may have already decided it was Greg Berhalter, but by not being transparent, it's what makes everybody form their own opinion and speculate. That's the lineup for tonight. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to get things rolling here with Paul Holliker. Again, the number to call in tonight, 713-780-3776. Also, again, how do you define success for your club team in 2019? What do you want to see? Could be Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester United, the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Should Albert Elise, do you want him to stay or do you want him to go? Do you want his desires realized? I sure don't want to see that front three intact, because that was a positive for the Houston Dynamo. It's a scary front three when he's on the field. It becomes very different without him. 713-780-3776 as we go to break here. Quick word for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual, by the way. Nobody wants to get in a car accident, motorcycle. You might work at a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You get in an accident. You need representation. It's not a comfortable place to be. We've all been there. Get the help of John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They've got you covered. They'll work 24/7, nights and weekends for you. You'll get the representation you need. They'll fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. They are our presenting sponsors. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let's take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Coming up, Dynamo Academy Director Paul Holliker.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Punts it down there by Reyna. He spins out of there. Slips it into the box. Look at Martinez with these feet. Martinez. Elise. Albert Elise. It's there. La Punta Rica has scored.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The big question, the future of Albert Elise of the Houston Dynamo. Lots of reports, lots of speculation. There is genuine interest from Fenerbahce in Turkey. I can assure you that based on some sources in Turkey I've talked to. It's been all over the newspapers. Let's get your thoughts on Albert Elise. Should he stay or should he go at this point? If the Dynamo got the number they wanted for him, should he stay or should he go? And is this going to be a part of the philosophy in the future for the Houston Dynamo if, in fact, they continue to go after young foreign talent and develop their own? So that's a big question here in the future. Now, we bring in Paul Holliker, Dynamo Academy Director. He's a former professional soccer player. We welcome you in, Paul. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm really happy to be here. And it's been 5 months since I've arrived, and I've been excited to meet you, and I'm really, really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy you're here, too. I got tired listening to, you know, you've been tremendous on social media and presenting the programs. You've gone out around the community, extending the olive branches to other coaches and clubs. I'll tell you, you've made an impact in 5 months, in my opinion.
We're trying. I mean, I think, you know, in youth soccer, what we're doing is, you know, it's about collaboration, helping the player get to the next level. And And that's the idea. You know, I mean, this is an amazing, amazing city, amazing potential here. And there's a lot of good soccer people. So let's work together and keep improving.
So we have your wife to thank for getting you back here, because so let's tell Mrs. Holliker that we appreciate her wanting to come back and be with her family to bring you here to us.
Yeah, it's a interesting little story. I was thinking about it actually this morning, you know, thinking about tonight. But I actually lived in Houston back in 1994, 95. I went and played. I had a professional career, and I was went to Europe in 1994 in Vienna and played. But I'd been courting Juliet, my wife, and we'd been writing letters, and I'd met her before I left. And I flew back to Seattle and drove down to Houston in 3 days to be with her. And ended up living here in Houston with her for about 5 years before the next contract came up. So I actually lived in Houston, 25 years ago.
Vienna, you played in Vienna. How did that shape you maybe as a coach? And just relate those experiences to us.
It was an amazing experience. I played my college soccer at Santa Clara University. So 87 to 91 and had a great experience there. And then we had a league called, which you have known of course, called the American Professional Soccer League.
Yeah.
And I played in the APSL for a few years. And this team at Miravacher had come over and done their preseason at Stanford. And I really had wanted to go to Europe. You know, I was 23 years old. My parents are both from Europe, and I went over and went on a trial with Miravacher in Vienna and was made the team, of course, and played there. But as far as an experience, you know, the Austrian Bundesliga, it's like the little brother, I guess, of Germany's Bundesliga for sure. But it was an amazing experience. You know,
Miravacher, Rapid Vienna,
yes,
right?
Yes, some very good teams. We had about an 18,000 seat stadium, and for a young guy, young American back then, it was very, very special. Even back then, you know, you could see how they worked in the academy. I still remember that. I still remember, you know, walking through to our trainings and seeing the youth teams play. And that wasn't the case in America back then. Of course, that's all changed now. So we've caught up in a lot of ways. But yeah, it was a transformational time.
Paul Holliker joining us, Dynamo Academy director. All right, so you get here to Houston, you got the new job, you look at what's going on here, you talk to people, you've done all your homework. What's the first thing you have to do?
Work very intently with the staff, you know, the coaching staff, the technical staff, the people inside the organization, inside the academy. That's the main thing. And we had a pretty intense first couple of weeks, really. And the focus was on how we work in the academy. I introduced a lot of things to them. And, you know, to their credit, they were amazing and they embraced it.
Now, is this after you've hired and fired, or is this... Or are you still in the process of doing that?
Because this is really after. Yeah. After,
gotcha.
After we...
So you've
we
got your staff now.
Brought in, you know, we didn't really bring in too many people. We just brought in a couple people and really the existing staff, a lot of the existing staff who were really exceptional, who are very exceptional. We had meetings for probably 8 hours a day for a week. And... You know, I could tell you, Glenn, that, you know, there was many, many topics for sure. I think the very first thing, you know, I gave them a little bit about my philosophy on development. I gave them my background. But we talked a lot about our game model, which is a way of playing, right? And a way of not just way of playing, but a way of developing players, something that I believe in very much. So we talked a lot about our game model. And we started to dive into our methods of development, how we develop players. And, you know, just like a teacher, you have methods. We have ways that we want to have that are coordinated throughout the whole academy so that we have a clear way, a systematic approach to development. So we talked a lot about our methods. We introduced our game principles. We have 21 game principles that we teach, 11 on offense, 10 on defense. So we talked a lot about that. But an academy really is a school. You know, it's a soccer school, and these guys are teachers. And, you know, that's what I wanted to impress upon them, that we have an opportunity to do something special here as well.
What is the common thread maybe philosophically for you? I know you have 21 elements there, but maybe give us the Cliff Notes version.
Sure.
Because I know there's probably a lot of parents out there intently listening tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, I can give you maybe a little bit of a background in how this came about. I played professionally for 6-7 years and I retired at 27 years old. And people started to ask me to coach. I started to get into coaching.
It was the only option, right?
Yeah, it was the only option.
Same. That's how I got into youth soccer development. Yeah. Same thing. You didn't have any other options,
that's
really.
That's right. That's right. So I knew I wanted to be a coach. And I had coached, you know, when I was playing. You know, you coach and when you're younger and do stuff like that. But I started to coach. And, I was working with an under 10 girls team, or I work with a junior high. I work with, 4 years. I think I coached every age group, and this was back in Santa Cruz, California. And I started to work at the university as well, University of Santa Cruz, a Division III program. So I'd coach the university in the morning from about 7 to 9, and then I'd go be a PE teacher. I was a PE teacher at a little private school, and then I would run the youth programs in the afternoon. So it was really about 8 hours on the field in some capacity every day, and with every single age group. So 4-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 21-year-olds, 14-year-olds. And that was my formation as a coach, because I did that for about 7-8 years. And that started to give me a real idea of development, that, you know, what I was doing with the university boys is, you know, I can do it with a 12-year-old, and that it is a complex game, but it's actually a simple game. But whatever you can teach, they can learn. So started to learn what was important at each age, and that kind of is your idea of what a phase of development is. So, for instance, the player that is, 4 to 6 years old, there's certain things going on in their head and in their development. What are they capable of? What can you teach them? And I never really babied the kids. I always thought, yeah, they can do this. You know, they're capable of doing this. Yeah, they can dribble, they can turn, they can change direction. And, you know, why can't I teach an 8-year-old about keeping possession of the ball, right? Or combination or positioning. And so I always had that in me, that I thought that you can really, really take a player to a next level. So I knew I loved this. But it was in 2006, I went to Spain. I went to Barcelona. I took an ODP team out there. And we were able to get into La Masia there and spend about a week where we got to observe trainings. We actually got to play against their teams.
Wow.
With our ODP. And that was really the first time, I got to see what is a positional game. And a positional game is different than like a game where you keep possession of the ball.
With what age group was that?
This was about U15, U16.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little light bulb moment for me, because I had never grown up with that type of game. You know, we'd played, a possession game and maybe you get 8 passes and you get a point, and, the ideas were all right, support the player with the ball, open up. But a positional game is completely different than a possession game, because it's about gaining a positional understanding, gaining connections with teammates, body orientation, the cognitive side of the game. And that was back in 2006. And when I saw that, I was like, that's not happening in America. What I just saw, I don't see that on any field in America. So it stuck with me. And I just dove into it. And I went back a couple more times. And I've been, traveling around, doing a lot of club studies and different things like that to try to keep learning for myself. But that's kind of the basis of my formation as a coach. And, I shared that with our staff here, so our game model is heavily influenced by that stuff right there.
That's a great story. He's Paul Holliker. He's a Dynamo Academy director joining us here. All right, so as you're putting this all together, obviously you have to have the connection and the relationship with the head coach, Wilmer Cabrera. How much influence does he have? Is that still a work in progress? And is that, you know, you got to get the buy-in, because if you don't have self-belief from the manager, the ability one day to be brave and use these kids in actual MLS minutes, you know, what's it for then?
Yeah, Wilmer and the whole staff have been really fantastic. They've been incredibly supportive.
Davey Arno, by the way, another one from this area that ended up in Major League Soccer. Yep,
absolutely, Davey. They've been really fantastic and supportive. So I've had numerous conversations with Wilmer and have met with Wilmer and the other staff about our project and what we're doing and how we can better vertically integrate our players so they can move along this pathway. So they've been really, really supportive, and they've been out at training. Yeah, I'm excited because we have the preseason coming up, you know, with RGV here as well. And there's going to be Academy, RGV, and first team right there together, all together on the field. And there's going to be movement. You know, there's going to be players getting opportunities.
How many really Academy good. Players do you think will get opportunity to train with the first team this year? Is there kind of a model as to how many you want to get up there? Or is it all based on?
We want as many as possible. You know, it's really about, you know, recommending the player, seeing the player, and them getting their opportunity. But yeah, it could happen any day, any week. So there's always, you know, three or four or five guys that are right there, you know, and you know, maybe even more to get that opportunity.
All right, let's talk about Eric McHugh. He was signed. He's a 17-year-old. You had mentioned to me before that Wake Forest was interested in him, one of the best college programs in the country. What do you project for him? And I know he's a big center back. I personally have not seen him play, so I can't say anything or make a judgment in my mind.
Yeah. So I've known Eric for 5 months now, right? And when I first came in, the first thing that you can see about Eric is he's got an exceptional mentality, which is a prerequisite for being a professional. You don't become a professional, or you don't stay a professional without that mentality. So he's got a certain aggression to him, I would say. You know, he's very, very combative and strong and fearless. He's smart. He's got a growth mindset. You know, he's humble. So he's got all these kind of intangibles about him. You know, he's got very, very good physical quality, very quick for his size, 6'3". But what I also recognized too was he has a very good technical base, which is very good. He's capable. He's very, very capable with the ball. And now does he have stuff to learn? Absolutely. You know, there's stuff in decision making that's going to improve over time. But he's so coachable and so smart that you can see improvements week in, week out. So he's got an amazing profile for a center back, and being just 18 years old, you know, maybe 18 years old. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And so now it's about, you know, integrating him. Right now he's still training with the academy, and then he's going to be, you know, integrated in obviously into the first team. Trainings every day, which is going to be amazing for him.
In preseason, I mean, he would likely go to RGV at some point, or could he stick with the first team in your mind?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be, you know, determined in the next, you know, it's a moving development right there.
Dynamo Academy Director Paul Holliker in studio tonight. Paul, we thank you for coming in studio. It's always nicer doing an interview when you can actually look at somebody. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the teams that have been successful in the player development side of Major League Soccer. Red Bulls, FC Dallas. What do we glean from them? What do we see from them? Now, obviously, they are willing to play young players, probably more so than most. Yeah. But what do we see coming from them? And maybe a Sporting Kansas City, too, you know, playing kids like Lindsay and Busio and some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can learn a lot. you know, and I do. I look at those guys, and I try to learn as much as I can. So, you know, FC Dallas has done a great job of, you know, incorporating their young teams into the trainings and all that stuff, and having good players come in and different programs that they have. You know, they have they've really, you know, optimized their market, so to speak, in Dallas, right? New York Red Bulls have got amazing programming. They've got, you know, a huge city of 20 million people. I don't know if that's correct, but it's close to that, right?
It's a big city. We know that.
Right. I don't know how many people are in New York.
But this is a big city, too.
This is a big city, too.
But we won't. We'll get there in a minute.
So it's you know, they've got, you know, they've got a good stuff going, you know, and that's what I'm excited about here. We can do the same thing here.
All right. Look at this market and the Hispanic element. You can't look beyond it. It's important. It's important for a lot of ways, a lot of means. It's a link to getting people in the stadium as well. It's, you know, the dream for me has always been to be at that stadium one day and team runs out of the tunnel and there's three or four starters that, you know, are from Spring or from Pearland or from the inner city of Houston or from Klein or Sugarland. That can happen. I don't think there's any question that can happen. Looking at the Hispanic element here, I know you had that out in California as well.
Yeah.
How do we reap the benefits of that passion and kids that have fathers that actually are out in the backyard playing the game with them?
Yeah. Well, there's so many aspects to it. You know, the first part is, you know, really working closely in the community, engaging the community, working closely with them, collaborating with them, identifying players, right? Identifying players in the community and bringing them into the academy at some point, you know? So I really see it as a collective effort in the community. So yeah, we have, you know, we have a huge city here of 6 million people, you know, and what I, you know, Matt Jordan and I were, you know, speak about quite often. This is not a city, this is a country, you know? And it's a unique country. Every area, you know, we were just talking about Dallas or New York or where. I mean, you look at any kind of advanced soccer nation or region, you know, they find a way to develop the culture. You know, you go to Croatia, and it's 4.5 million people, but they have amazing development there. Why? You know, look at Iceland. You know, they got 300,000 people. They made it to the World Cup. Why? How? What did they do? Well, they focused on education. They focused on youth development. Every village in Iceland has got a qualified coach or a top coach or facilities, right? I mean, you look at Belgium. You know, what did they do? They transformed their youth structure. They went away from big numbers and went to small numbers. So every situation is unique. Here, we've got, you know, I've been here for 5 months and I'm formulating some ideas on creating a culture of development. What is our culture? How can we, it's more than just Houston Dynamo. It's Houston. How do we elevate the level of Houston, you know, and the Dynamo is a shining light of that, you know, and an example.
You have to take the lead, right?
Absolutely.
Is it up to the Dynamo to take the lead?
Absolutely, of course. You know, yeah. and I'm excited about that. I've always been about that. Like, if we can improve, you know, just the education of our coaches, I think that's key. You know, I don't think you ever stop learning. I don't think there's any coach, quality coach, that's ever said, "No, I know it all. I got it." You know,
well, there might have been a few I meant, but no, I meant that as a joke. Yeah, no, you can't, right?
Right.
That's the kiss of death.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all around. Well, I'll go back to Belgium. You know, it's like
hold that thought because we're up on a hard break. Okay. I gotta. That guy's my master in there.
Yep,
Michael Hernandez. So what he says, you got to go to a break. We got to go to a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back more with Paul Holliker here, the head of the Dynamo Academy. We're talking player development here. We're going to get into localizing it a little bit more with the Dynamo and what the plans are for Paul and company. Advantage BMW. Driven one for years. I've leased and owned from Advantage BMW Midtown. The drive of a BMW, just outstanding. I got a 5 Series. I absolutely love it. But the thing I really like down there with all the guys, Philip, Justin, and Sergio down at Advantage BMW Midtown, customer service is over the roof. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. But I love the customer service. I'm not the guy who's good at getting under the hood of a car. You know, I admit it. I'm sorry. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Get down there. Get the hometown advantage. Go down there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio, all down there. They love soccer. Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsor here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-32-HURT. 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual. Any type of accident, they'll get you covered. They'll work for you 24-7. They'll fight for your right for compensation. They'll give you the representation you need. Get after it with the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Thank you, Don Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. More with Paul Holliker when we come back.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, a big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. Also to the King's Court. The place to be in Edo is King's Court, 903 Hutchins. In the shadows of BBBA Compass Stadium. Now, Kings Court's got 13 monitors down there. All your soccer watching desires. All the leagues are covered. Premier League. You got the Houston Red Army down there. I believe Tom Clare's going to make an appearance there this weekend for the Manchester United game. So I'm going to make sure I get down there to see Tom. Bayou City Blues, I believe, are still down there. You got El Batallon for the Dynamo. And there's other supporters groups down there, too. But the Kings Court. Amazing British and Indian pub style cuisine. Big fan of the chicken dishes down there, the curries, amazing stuff. Jay and his wife, Megan, the food is amazing. Cocktails, great. Great staff, food, and bar. It's kingscourthouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Jay and Megan. As we welcome you back, Paul Holliker, Dynamo Academy head in studio. So you mentioned it's sort of Houston soccer and the community that has to develop players. Now, we all know how competitive the youth game is, and you've got competitors that are also academy teams. How do you create the relationships? Because I know you've gone out there. I know you've talked to Eric Quill. I know you've talked to Josh Gardner. This, to me, is incredibly healthy, and I think it's just wonderful that you're doing that because you're looking big picture to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, these are good people and good organizations, and I think they understand. They understand what this is all about. We all do, you know, which is we want to help players reach their highest levels. You know, that's why I always talk in our academy about, you know, come and see the academy, come out and see what happens every day. Is this an environment that can help a young player reach the next level? And all these guys, you know, I think maybe, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, it might have been different. I'm not sure. But, you know, now I think people, you know, guys that have been in the league, especially, right, like Josh and Eric, you know, we all know that, yeah, we want to put kids in the best environment possible. So that's what it's about. and then work together, work closely together, you know, and get together occasionally throughout the year, work on programs together. It's so important.
You know, the history down here, and you and I were talking, Ahmad Baba, Nadal Baba, the amount of players that went on to Major League Soccer, Johnny Torres, Eric Quill, Chris Bondi, Rusty Pierce in Columbus, Josh Gardner. I remember others that maybe didn't have longer careers but were in MLS, Eric Covello, Sam Forco, are a couple of guys that had a little bit of a taste. The bottom line is not everybody's going to be a professional soccer player. There is a risk. But this is really more about passion and the enjoyment of the game. And how much of that do you have to sell, especially with young kids? I mean, you have to have energetic coaches that are positive and excited about the game, or they won't come back.
Development is real. You know, you start development right away. It's real. There's a reason why there's hotbeds. There's a reason why there's countries that are producing players like crazy. You know, I've been a part of helping that type of culture happen on a smaller scale, but getting it going, it takes passion. It takes commitment, you know. It takes putting players in environments that challenge them daily, you know. It's about being around, you know, top motivated players every day. You know, you need that environment. And then, you know, good competition. You know, I think development comes down to, you know, the quality of your training, the quantity of your training, the environment and the competition, all that together. And I want that to be something that happens everywhere. Right. In Houston. Right. That would be a great goal. Right. And, you know, you don't want to go to a field and see kids, you know, just kind of kicking the ball up the field and, you know, or someone, you know, so concerned with getting a result, you know, on a weekend that they can't teach a player to build up and play out of the back. You know, that is counter to development, you know. And so it's also about educating each other and educating our coaches to realize what their long-term goal is, which is can we produce players in Houston that can step on any field in the world at any time and compete favorably? And I'm telling you, we can, and we do, you know, and it's just a matter, we can do everything that these other countries are doing. But we need to, it doesn't happen by accident. You need to stimulate each other. You need to educate each other. You need to challenge each other. You need to collaborate with each other. So that's part of what the culture of development is about.
All right. Cultural development. I want to take it a little bit farther out because you obviously are trying to train these kids to go home and be fully inundated in the game of soccer and its beauties and its intricacies and it's the fascination of a ball and to go home and create their own training environments. How much selling of going home and creating your own training environments away from us and away from adults do you do? Because I'm gonna take a venture here that you do a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, you just nailed it. We were actually talking about this today in our technical meeting. It's like we've been doing some individual development programs. So we work with every player in the academy on an individual level. So, you know, this takes a lot of time, but we talk about how can we help this individual? What areas do they want to develop? So we ask them, what do you want to develop? Here, you know, based on our game model, our game principles, and how can we help you develop? And it's amazing that, you know, what an exercise this is, because they come back with great ideas. Right. And then you can help them along. But we do something like we're going to do it next Wednesday. We call it Pro Time, where the players have designed their own training session based in small groups and positional and whatever else. OK, so this was something that is, you know, it's you know, pretty prominent in Europe. You know, your next guest is going to have played in Holland, but I learned it, you know, from the coach at Heracles. They had individual development programs. And they want the player to take charge of their own development. Once that happens, Glenn, right? Once a player realizes, you know, that they're in charge, it goes to a new level.
So do they do a self-examination of their own game then?
Absolutely. they rate themselves, you know, they see where they rate themselves as strong or, you know, I need to improve in this. And it's our job to facilitate that and to help them recognize where they want to improve and then teach them how to do it. I mean, I was a college coach for 15 years. In part in the spring, we only had them, you know, 2 hours a week. Well, I used those 2 hours to teach them how to train themselves. So listen, I could run you through another exercise here, or we could sit down and talk about, okay, so what equipment do you need for this? So you want to work on finishing in the box with both feet. Okay, well, who do you need? That's a good exercise, but are you getting enough repetition? You know, do you want to add an opponent? So yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
Paul Holliker, Dynamo Academy Director, joining us here, has made some great headway here. Short amount of time in 5 months. We did talk about Wilmer Cabrera's involvement. I think we touched on that already. The other essential things in just continuing to create this is going to take time. Matt Jordan was in here, or I had a discussion with him, and he said, you're going to see the benefits being reaped in 12 to 16 months where there are kids that are going to be able to move through to the USL that then can potentially be sprinkled into the first team.
Yes, I absolutely. I think it's going to take time. Everything good takes time. You know, I think looking at our 19s right now, we definitely have a group of players that have got professional qualities, right? So now, how do we start to integrate them into these more professional environments? And yeah, that's going to be happening. Some of these kids are going to go off and play in top colleges. You know, we have, you know, Jaden Cervania that's going on a couple visits and probably start off in that route. But I mean, Ian, this is a kid in 3-4 years that has potential to do it.
So you'd still believe that the college game, and Dave Major tomorrow is going to be on the show from St. John's, and he's going to be talking a lot about the college game and where it fits. So that's another show to listen to tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Soccer Matters will be on. But you, having been a college coach, you still feel the college game has something to offer.
I think you can go to a top college program and develop incredibly, you know, and I think you're getting an amazing education as well, you know. So yeah, it's a different path for everybody, you know. I mean, there's also a reason why, you know, when I was a college coach, I would get dozens of emails from kids in Europe, because those kids want to come in and get an education and continue to play, and they see our league over here. So it's not a bad thing in any respect, you know. It's about, we have all these factors, and what's the right path for each individual.
Paul, thank you very much for coming in. The first of many discussions here. I think we should do one night a question and answer, and we can get people calling in. But we've kind of gotten you in here. We've gotten a good couple of segments in. We'll do this again. I want to wish you the best of luck. From the outside looking in, you've been an asset already. So keep up the great work. It's tough work, but I know it's very rewarding work as well. And I think we're fortunate to have you down here.
Well, if I could say this, I love the show. I absolutely love the show.
Well, you're a listener too.
I am a big listener, and I really, really appreciate. I think we're absolutely lucky that we have it in Houston. You know, I've been around a little bit, and this is not everywhere. You know, this type of program. So we're really lucky to have you in the program.
Oh, you're officially now my co-host. After that, all right.
You got it.
Pay is not great, but you're my co-host. Hey, Paul, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Appreciate
and again, best of luck with the academy. I'm coming down to watch you do your work,
please.
And your staff. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun to be around the fields with energetic young soccer players and great coaches.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's Paul Holliker, Dynamo Academy Director here. Things shifting in a very good direction there. Tomorrow, the NWSL draft, new coach James Clarkson, Eddie Robinson, Monica Gonzalez. We'll be on the clock tomorrow trying to get some players here to Houston out of the women's college game, which supplies a lot in the NWSL. And then Friday, it's the MLS Super Draft. And back to Paul's comment, Andrew Gutman of Indiana, played 4 years at Indiana, is being touted by Celtic right now. It doesn't look like he's going to sign with the Chicago Fire, so he may bypass them and go to Celtic in Scotland. That's one to keep an eye on. All right, we'll take a break here. Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor, coming up. Sam and Bonu, Afro Vibes, DJ Sun, Andre Simpson, and also, you're going to love this one, former Dynamo Andrew Driver in the house tonight. In the house tonight. We'll take a break. More to come.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.